Onto brass stacks. I actually have a very interesting WhatsApp here. The person says, good morning, Ms. Gill. What's the take on these persons taking up posts at the entrance of business places requesting donations for charities? Nowadays, everywhere I go, I'm coming across this. My peeve is that it's a bit of an annoyance to me, especially when someone can ask you for a donation on entering a venue and totally forget you so much that they ask you again when you're on your way back out. I just saw two ladies doing this, and because I'm familiar with one of the ladies, I stopped to ask what's the process to how this benefits them as they spend their time doing this, and how legitimate it is from the perspective of the charities really receiving the proceeds. The other lady then turned in an aggressive manner, telling her to show him the paper. Ms. Gail, I'm not so interested in the paperwork, because I know anyone can photocopy papers. Who is governing this practice? Because I'm seeing this creeping into our social network. Are these charities governing this practice? And how do we know who's legit or not? And I said it was interesting because I myself have encountered it. And again, I asked them those same questions. Who is managing the actual work of the charity? And what's really happening? So in terms of the legitimacy of it, and whether the persons who it is intended for, whether they are necessarily benefiting from it. And that was an interesting one. And then another reply on WhatsApp, we had a person who said that the temporary fence, or the fence that has been placed where the lady just called, is actually temporary, and they indicated that we Barbadians sometimes, well, they were going on to say some other point about, you know, we see things, and what would be useful is that when developments are happening, there could be a little bit more communication on the part of government, so we Barbadians can have more detail and not be, you know, disenfranchised in that way. So that was a useful one. Then another gentleman WhatsApped, and he asked the question, can I have, or if he can get in contact with the person who mentioned the Kabbalah, they would also want to, they've not been able to see them in Barbados, and they wanted to know if the person actually had a Kabbalah in Barbados. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon. The time is now 12 minutes after 9, and we're going until 1 p.m. The number to call, 434-1790, or 266 if you're WhatsApping, 266-4682. Down to brass tacks. I'm hearing breathing, but not. I'll continue back to the WhatsApp, because there was another WhatsApper there. A person said that they visit BIM 3 to 4 times yearly, and they get a little upset when they go to Browns Beach, because most of the beach is populated with beach chairs right in front of the lifeguard post, and they have to walk between and around the chairs. And they said, forget bringing my own chair. Where will I set it down? That's a legitimate question. And then the person also mentioned that their family has property, their own property on the island, and they believe that they actually spend more money per visit than the average tourist. And for some reason, they're still not treated the way they should be from their counterparts here in Barbados, or their nationals. And they also have friends and colleagues who experience that same treatment. So the question then is, are we treating our people as good as we should? And how good is our customer service? But then we also had a couple of our WhatsAppers who congratulated Miss Undecided and indicated to her, thanks for thinking of us. And then we had a few of them that told her happy birthday. So we had quite a few WhatsApps. I also read in our break, there was a person who was talking about the roadworks. And I actually want to mention right now, last night we were driving in the Christchurch area, and we attempted to go down Rendezvous Hill. and we had a detour. And then it was only this morning I was reading today's paper, and there's actually some debris falling from the earring rendezvous, and that was ready to protect us, the drivers. So sometimes we have a detour and we feel as though, you know, this is so inconvenient, and I have to go all the way down there. And then lo and behold, it is really there for us to be protected. So sometimes things happen. Sometimes we don't have a full explanation for them. So that's my comment there, that it can actually for our, be for our own good. I'll go to the phone lines. This is Dr. Brassatz. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Good afternoon, actually. It's actually now 12 minutes yes. after 12.
Sorry, afternoon. Things
yes,
are
that's all right.
Busy. I have never called before, but I always listen.
Never called the program before?
Never called the program, but I'm an avid listener. And just
welcome to
two points that I want to make at this time. Mm-hmm. We are speaking of green economy and health and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I am seeing nothing being done about indiscriminate burning.
Are you the president of an organization?
Well, are you guessing, ma'am?
Hey, your voice sounds awfully familiar.
Awfully familiar. I'm not going to sing at this time.
Okay, well, you have identified yourself.
I will sing the strength of the fact that for the last 7 years,
okay.
we have an organization called Citizens Against Burning Stuff.
Yes.
And although many people will sit back and wait for things to happen, I like to push forward on it to mm-hmm. say that we need something done mm-hmm. about people burning stuff in these residential areas,
yes.
sending people to the hospital. And of course, since there's no direct proof that the smoke caused an asthma attack,
it does though.
We need to have some legislation for people who deliberately do it. And mm-hmm. you have to wash your clothes over. It's a waste of resources.
Yes.
And it's also more on the health services to have to nebulize people
yes.
from day to day mm-hmm. because of this practice. So I have already spoken to the Minister of Health, but I am waiting to see how it will be dealt with, because it is deemed to be a tradition. And not all traditions are good.
Are sensible either. I remember many years ago as a child, I would be talking to my mother very good, and then all of a sudden her voice starts to get very chalky. And then all she would say is, something is burning. And it impacts her so severely up to this very day. Smoking, whether it is a cigarette or whether it is something on the stove and there's any smoke in the home, whatever it is. And people tend to just burn stuff and they have absolutely no care for the person's downwind.
And, no care whatsoever, and, man. They also burn their dogs,
yes.
old chickens, sneakers.
Like if it does something for their for them,
etc. and etc. It's really, really terrible, and I would really like to see some emphasis on that. That's my first point.
But before you go, don't go yet. The
go ahead.
The currently in legislation, there's nothing that, because I remember I lived in Warrens at one point, and we had some persons who lived up on the other side. I wouldn't call them neighbors, because they lived a little a different district, but it still had an impact because we were downwind. And they would burn stuff almost every morning on a Friday and a Saturday. I don't know what it was about. I have no clue. And there was a time when I got so serious, had a young child in the house, and I called the police, and the police couldn't do anything about it. So there's no, absolutely no legislation now.
No.
And that was...
There's legislation, ma'am, that speaks to being a public nuisance.
Right.
But the onus is on the person who is suffering
to prove
that it is a nuisance.
Yes.
So you have to go to the doctor, go to the hospital, send some money, write down everything that you did,
mm-hmm.
tell them when you died from it and everything, and then they will look at the person who was doing it.
And I mean, while I laugh, why is the proof of burden, why is that on the person who has been offended and not the offender?
I don't know, but in other countries, there's a $25,000 and $30,000 fine when you do it.
Mm.
And there are other ways. You can allocate a specific day and area where, just like how the police can burn the matter that they grab from their raids and stuff. You can have a specific time that burning can happen in an area or facility that does not affect other people.
The others, yes.
And they have the posting and they talk about all the alternative things, which are wonderful. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have people who believe for the last 50 or 80 years.
More than that.
That you wreck up wet leaves in a yard and burn them.
Yeah, burn them.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put them in garbage. And finally on that, so this organization that you're a part of, y'all would have been the ones responsible for the things on TV, the ads on TV.
Ma'am.
Okay, yes.
Yes,
good,
ma'am.
Very good
Definitely
work.
So.
Very good work.
And it needs a lot more of that.
Yes.
And we need the one that tells you how much the fine is.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
The next point is, as we try to beautify Barbados, which is a wonderful concept and initiative, we have hundreds of old cars in all over this island, I mean thousands really, that are sitting there doing nothing. They have been abandoned. They're there. The bellies are out sometimes. The engine is sold and the shells are all around. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who called in once speaking about somebody having a factory or something who could pick up these things and make some money.
Yes.
Crushing them and reselling the metal or how it can be done. I don't have that sort of money to do that. Otherwise, I will open my factory. You understand?
But you know, recently
it's a nice sore.
Actually, went to
really, really too many. It's across some areas that they have hundreds and they're packed up all alongside. And sometimes, if you have a fire, the fire engine cannot
get
the location.
Well, you've mentioned both of them. Stem from selfishness. I mean, I put on my strategy hat and I better you unpeel all of these things. This is a neighbor who does not seem to care about the other people in his or her neighborhood, and they do things or place things that can be detrimental to the person's health, one, and then in the second instance that can stop a person from accessing. And so my question then would be, two things. One, I traveled recently to another Caribbean country, and I must say, you multiply it by three, and I saw those amount of vehicles on the side of a road. People would just drop these vehicles, these places. And I asked the question of the taxi gentleman when I was driving, what was this? What is this? And he just said people just go and put cars different places if they don't work anymore. But anyway, that's one. The second point here on the old vehicles, you remember that case quite recently with in Black Rock, where a person was blocking the road with old fridges and to repair those things, and how swiftly that was dealt with.
Yeah,
why can't we do a similar scenario with all of the other places where people?
Something that can be done overnight. It should be tackled parish by parish.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it should stop and say, Michael, because I can tell you, I'm driving and I see, and I pass about 25 already.
Wow.
In between the houses, alongside the roads, all sorts of places. So, it is something that needs looking at.
That needs looking at.
Speaking about beautifying
Barbados, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
What I would have thought. Sorry?
No, I'm saying thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for coming in. I'm actually going to give you a little more time if you want to talk about any of your other interests, because I know you have many interests.
Yeah, I have many interests, but I would prefer not to speak on those at this point.
That
in
is
time.
Quite okay. I want to thank you, though.
I'm glad to see that the economy is recovering, and it should all go well for small businesses. I'm hoping that I will be in a position to assist them as we go forward.
And I want to also thank you for your contribution to our youth. There are many people who can take a leaf out of your book, and sometimes we actually don't even know the value that we bring by just being with a young man or a young woman and helping them to see from another perspective. So I want to thank you on behalf of all of those families who have benefited from your contribution.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It's good to hear it. Before you die and not after.
I'm sure someone told you thanks several times.
Yeah.
But thanks so much.
All right.
Yes,
no
sir.
Problem.
Have a good one. Down to brass tacks. I actually have another WhatsApper here who said that I don't read their WhatsApps. So if I can actually find them again, the person said, Along with backyard burning, that's not this one, but along with backyard burning, there's also the auto spray painters in several neighborhoods, and it is endangering our health. So we actually have a serious scenario where people think that it's only a little bit. You know that? You know that? it's so much. That's what they tell themselves. And then we have the other nuisances, whether it is a kite. I, for one, don't understand how a rational thinking human can take a kite out that is noisy and leave it for ad infinitum. And you're sleeping and you're hearing this I can't even explain it. This ripple, but yes, these public nuisances really need to be addressed, and we're going to be, of course, calling on those neighbors to be kind. Think not only about yourself, but think about the person who lives next door to you, or the persons who are around, in and around you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
The latest health updates on health-related events and developments. As drastic steps are taken in China to curb the spread of the feared coronavirus, here's a sobering thought from the powerful representative in Guyana, Dr. William Adekro.
In terms of the confirmed cases, it may sound as an oxymoron for me to say that's compared to Ebola. This is a less virulent condition, because Ebola at the beginning killed about 98 to 99% of people who had Ebola. Now, with this condition, we thought it was around 2 to 4%. Now it's dropped to 2.9%. What does that mean? That means every 100 people who have the condition, 2.9 may die.
At the same time, Guyana's Minister of Public Health, Valdo Lawrence, has announced a public education campaign to make people more aware of the coronavirus.
We will be working with the ministry, WHO, the Immigration Authority, the Ministry of Infrastructure, and other agencies.
That's The Latest Health, a production of the Starcom Network.
I am here having a little chuckle off here before our WhatsApps. This last caller on the various public nuisances that we have been faced with has erupted a little response from Barbadians. We are special people, you know. We keep our mouths closed for a long time, and then at some point when we say, oh, that happens to me as well. You know, but we do have a number of persons who are suffering from some challenges. Person says in Walmart Lodge, a guy here, he burns stuff every week. And, you know, we don't seem to be able to fix it. And then another person from a previous call said, gardeners, pool maintenance, housekeepers, chefs, persons who work in laundries. Those are also some persons who we should mention who are part of the tourism industry, and we must give kudos to them. So we do have a number of persons agreeing with one of our callers who highlighted the various persons within the minders, or more so the grinders within the tourism industry, and they wanted to give them a little bit of thanks. And another person highlighted a pretty important point, that sometimes we put persons in prison for things that affect us. Then they come out and they continue to do the same thing. So we do have a busy WhatsApp here today with quite a bit of persons sharing about fire burning or something happening. And that really is a nuisance to a number of our residents in Barbados. And I really, really do implore our fellow Barbadians to be more kind, to be kind, really, as it relates to all of our persons who live next door, to just do something a little different. And another person here is also saying, what about the exhaust that some of our cars and our trucks give off? And it's true. I was driving and I saw this thing. It really was not roadworthy, because the amount of black smoke that was coming from this vehicle, I couldn't believe that this person was serious. So yes, we do have a number of challenges where people are not necessarily thinking about their fellow man, either the neighbor or whatever. The music is telling us that we are going to go to the lunchtime latest. And remember, we're going until 1 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 31st of January, 2020. We're going until 1 p.m., which means we have just over 15 minutes. We have Mrs. Michelle Brathwaite in the studio with us. I'm Lisa Gale. And yes, we will hear our next caller. We did have quite a bit of WhatsAppers, which I wanted to read some of them, but we will hear our next caller. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon, sir. You're on the air. Seems like you are no longer on the air. But we do have, and I was reading while we were having the news break, listening very intently to the news break, but also peeping over at the WhatsApp. And there's a person here who mentioned the paints that we use to paint our vehicles, that the person says they actually banned in Europe. And the reason is that the hardeners used are known to cause, the person said, cancers and many other ailments. And these paints should only be used in a paint booth, which actually filters the air before it is expelled into the open surroundings. But we use them in the open air, and that can cause all sorts of problems with the human respiratory system. And now the standard, the European standard, is now water-based paints. And that would reduce the highly problematic chemicals that come in these type paints. So that's useful information. We must, as we said before the lunchtime latest, that we must be cognizant of the other persons who are next to us. And that's a normal humankind thing to think about. Everything you do, think about how it impacts another person. And that is one, that's another point, which is a useful point. A person says that they live in the St. Peter area, but it is all across Barbados. If I look at every single WhatsApp that we have here subsequent to that last call, you would see that there are a number of persons who seem to suffer from the impact of actions. Another person said that, interestingly, government cleaned a gully where they live, and the very next day, someone threw a bed there and burnt it. The very next day. So we do have some people who actually don't think about the persons that they're impacting, and they can continue to do some really, really unkind things. And that goes back to my own personal philosophy, which is about personal responsibility. It starts there. A lot of times we have to look out for ourselves and the persons who are around us. And we don't always do that. Because of that, then we impact the persons who are around us. In fact, this person here mentions, this is second to what we are talking about as it relates to the nuisances, but this person says that they also visit there are two sets of WhatsApps, one after the next. They also visit Browns Beach, and they don't have any problem with the chairs. And then another person here says the chairs are taking up the whole beach, and maybe it affects them when they are walking on mornings. It becomes the passage now to become increasingly difficult. So that's another thing. And sometimes companies, and then sometimes individuals. And a lot of what you do, it boils down to, do you care about the fellow man? Think about how you're impacting the next person. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. And yourself?
So bad. I'm calling because I have some issues with the government buildings across the island. The buildings with an S, yes.
Oh, yes.
When they're not maintained properly, and then they have to be closed down, and then they move to another building to go and rent.
The same thing.
What is happening with the buildings? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for example, I was traveling on the road today, and there are a lot of old schools, maybe even before it was on this earth, that are closed down. They're just abandoned properties.
Yes.
What are the government plans to do with these old buildings?
Yeah.
And are they going to allow more buildings to be just shut down after a time, and then they're going to look to build new buildings across the island?
Yeah, there needs to be a comprehensive approach to how, and I noticed the name maintenance was added to the Ministry of Transport Works, and it's now called and maintenance. So there should be some comprehensive approach to addressing all of these derelict buildings. I mean, yes, of course, we have to take into consideration ownership. Some of it is disputed, etc. So we will have some scenarios where something can become derelict because of the status of ownership. But I agree with you that there's not this good thing where on a consistent basis you spend 30, 50 years in a building and then, okay, it goes bad and then you go and find another building. But restoration, maintenance, like, care.
Like, for example, like Louis Link School, they closed down. Nothing is happening with it.
But remember that one was specifically because of
the health hazard.
Yes.
The South District School, nothing is happening with the old school from before. Yeah, I passed another one on Belmont Road earlier today, and it's an old abandoned building.
Yeah.
And I mean, nothing is happening there. Mm-hmm. Or is the government plan to knock down all of these buildings eventually and sell the property to someone?
I think there, as I said, a comprehensive approach needs to be done. Of course, you don't sell all and you don't knock down all, but you go through a process where, okay, there's some heritage here. We need to maintain this one. You know, we can restore this one, or no, this one is a sick building. This one can't be fixed. You know, different things, and government policy can also go in the wrong direction sometimes. You know, where the immigration is now.
Oh my!
That initially,
that's a disaster.
That initially was a big car park, and people ask the question, "Car park? Why?" You know, I guess they wanted to replicate the city center, but it was a failure. Hardly anybody used it because I don't know if it's because we are resistant to that in terms of culture, but it really didn't work.
I mean, I always have every time I pass with the old hospital, I always see it as, why they don't repair, knock it down, and build, make out there the A&E, for example.
Okay. Not A&E, so though, because A&E should be very close to, you should be able to carry somebody in.
Hospital,
no, but I mean, you should be able to.
Wards or something over there.
Okay.
Nothing is happening there.
Yes.
And I mean, something, a proper vision should happen for that particular area, especially with the students are learning to become doctors and nurses over on that side. When you pass, you see them walking from time to time across the street. I think that something should be done with that old part of the old hospital.
Let's just hope that the powers that be are listening, because those are some very good suggestions. I want to thank you so much for your call. Down to Brass Tacks. I'm going to go to the phone line shortly. I just want to read one WhatsApp that said, why are persons allowed to park in specific car parking spaces that are allotted for other entities, i.e. the fire department? And the person went on to give a little bit of detail there, but this is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes. I wish to say that coming out of your 12:30 news, I've heard comments that are very heartening, and I really could concur with this. This is regarding the structure of the economy. The head of the private sector is saying that the way things are structured.
The head of the Barbados Economic Society, Mr. Simon Natram.
Yeah, I don't know his name. But,
Simon Natram.
Simon Natram.
Simon Natram.
Oh, Simon.
Yes.
Okay, good. He made sense to me. It's one of the first times I have heard wise comments like that coming from that society.
What?
Yes.
That's a sad. You don't listen to comments coming from that society.
I listen to what I want to hear, right?
Oh, okay. You listen to what you want to hear. Okay.
Yes, and right, I'm clear. Not, because I'm in the manufacturing, so I look to see what is in it for the manufacturing sector, and I usually don't hear anything. So that's what I'm looking for, and I hear that today. He didn't say manufacturing, though, but what he's saying is that the main engine of the economy, which is the tourism sector, has to be linked to other sectors in order for the whole country to be productive. You can't get growth in the economy in this society with only one sector growing and not helping along the others. And indeed, all the governments usually invest a lot in the tourism sector. So they need to also give back by involving the manufacturers, the agricultural people, and things like that. Now, that has not been happening for years. I believe that of all the hotels, maybe 5 or 6 of them are really committed. I remember when Sandals came to Barbados, the hoteliers, the local hotels here, not that they're locally owned, but the local hotels here were complaining that Sandals were getting a lot of concessions, and they were the same thing, but even playing field.
Yeah.
And they got everything, because I remember they saying at one time that Chris Sinclair gave them even more than they asked for. But what are the returns? You're not seeing the returns. Look, we got a hotel that is going up now called the Hyatt, right? The Hyatt Hotel. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the one in Bay Street, like the controversial one,
yes, if you can
call it that. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of talk is going on around that with all of these town hall meetings and so on. You talk about the environmental impact study and all of that. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the discussion did I hear anything for local manufacturers to supply furniture or furnishings for that hotel. That didn't come into play, and you can bet that hotel from top to bottom will not be furnished by anybody in Barbados. Even though you've got many furniture manufacturers, of course, they're going out of business because they can't get work. Even though you've got a polytechnic that is training people in furniture, making and so on, mm-hmm. skills training and all of that. Even though you're bringing in people from within the region with the CSME, you still will not get anybody local furnishing a hotel.
But shouldn't there be a stipulation? I thought I heard that there was like a 40%, the minimum, where they would utilize smaller businesses and the supply from locals.
Yes,
we did hear that.
They've been saying that for the last 20 years, but once they get the hotel and they go ahead, they're not going to be concerned with anybody local at all. Mm. You're not going to get any work from them. And you're basically wiping out the productive sector.
Mm.
Right? I just hear Mohammed Nasser talking about these things daily, you know, but I say to myself, I wouldn't even call in the issue because you're wasting time. I hear Aminad Passad. I definitely don't have any confidence in things that he says because I know that things can remain just as they are. One particular sector is going to grow in this country, and the other sectors will not get work, and things need to be done about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sanders come into this market, and I welcome it because when they did the construction, there was a lot of work. And even now that the construction is over, some people get employment. But you know, as locals, we can't supply Sanders with anything that can come from China, you know. Nothing that can come from China. You can't give the Sanders. And another bad thing about the hotels, too. If you work for a hotel today, you can't get paid on time. Some of these hotels want to pay you 3 and 4 months later. I don't know how you can run a business, a small business, with workers to pay when the week come, and hoteliers want to pay you 3 and 4 months later.
Okay. Yeah, you raised some very interesting points, the importance of linkages between the manufacturing sector and that of tourism. We talked today a bit about the structure of the economy. We talked about burning and the insensitivity of some neighbors, some Barbadians, as it relates to their neighbors. We had a number of calls on various topics, one or two persons concerned about what is being done as it relates to the coronavirus, and a number of other calls we receive. I'm going to thank all of our callers and all of our listeners and those who made today possible. I'm going to thank Mrs. Michelle Brathwaite and the entire Starcom body, and hope that we continue to be good people.